The golden rule is something that people all over are familiar with. Treat others as you would like to be treated is how it goes. And using the golden rule is a very helpful frame of thinking to adopt for us to get out of our own heads when we are interacting with one another. This helps us put ourselves in other people's position to understand how they might be thinking and feeling when we are interacting with them. Rather than consider our actions and our own selfish desires, we think about the needs of someone else. That's how it works. This is empathy in action. It really allows us to feel as someone else feels. For some, this takes a little bit more effort than others, but for everyone, those who are very good at this, and those who are not, it takes practice. It does not happen automatically to get very good at treating one another kindly. It takes practice. And we encounter people in our lives all the time, every single day. We wake up, we see our family, even if we are just driving on the road, we are interacting with other people, and we have an opportunity to put this into practice. Even people that we've never met, people who have completely different backgrounds, cultures, and life experiences, they all share something in common that is very fundamental to our identity. And we are people. That's really it. Everybody is a human being that you interact with. We share a lot of the very basics of life. We share the same human struggles. Everyone needs to eat. Everyone needs to sleep. Everyone needs to make their ends meet somehow. Everybody struggles with each one of those things from time to time. People everywhere have families and friends, and there is a need to nurture these relationships. Everybody has this common experience, and everyone appreciates being treated kindly. I don't know a single person who has been treated kindly and says, "I wish you hadn't done that." So in considering how to treat others, we can start with the basics. It goes a long way. Hold the door for a stranger. Offer up a smile to somebody that you pass along the street. Back when we had to pay tolls with a handful of coins, I recall being a kid sitting in the back seat and my parents getting a big kick out of throwing in enough money to pay for the person behind them too. And we're all familiar with the phenomena of road rage. What we experienced was the polar opposite of that. People would speed up trying to get into the next lane to offer thanks and wave and say hi. It was the funniest way to meet friends along the road. But that simple handful of coins brought my parents and such a delight. It was entertaining for them just to do something kind. The Bible has a deeper rendition of the Golden Rule. And I'll have you turn to Leviticus 19, and I'll read verse 18 from that chapter. Leviticus 19 and verse 18, very familiar. "You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord." From the very early days with Israel, we see this instruction from God: love your neighbor. This passage is quoted several places throughout the Bible. I counted no less than 6 different occurrences where this phrase, "love your neighbor as yourself," is quoted verbatim, 6 places. Jesus Christ quotes it numerous times himself. The point is very clear. Get out of your own box and consider the needs of others in expression of love. What about the last part of the instruction, though? "You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Let's rephrase this just a little bit to shift the emphasis. Love yourself and show the same love for your neighbor. What does this mean to love ourselves then? We have to understand this because this gives us the guide by which we love others. If we are to show love for our neighbor in the same way that we do for ourselves, but we don't treat ourselves very well, if we aren't kind to ourselves, then we have a problem, don't we? How can we love others in a way that pleases God if we don't love ourselves in a way that pleases God? How can we love ourselves properly? That's what we'll be going into today. Let's start by discussing what not to do. It's tempting to think of self-love as a license for self-indulgence and hedonism, thinking of ourselves first and what we want and what we need without consideration for what others want and need is not a good way to go about living. That is not love. We do not demonstrate self-love through self-seeking. Let's turn over to James 3 and read verses 15 through 17, where it goes into this topic in more detail. James 3, beginning in verse 15, we read this. James 3, beginning in verse 13. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. In verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are. Self-seeking is not self-love. Self-seeking is extremely deceptive, in fact. We might think that we are doing good for ourselves when we are serving our own desires, but we have to ask ourselves, what are the desires that I am serving? Are they sensual? Are they carnal kinds of pleasures? Am I looking just to feed my own belly, so to speak? Note the confusion that's mentioned here. Self-seeking might feel good. It might make us think that we are doing something that is right for ourselves and expresses love, but certain ways of being, they only do damage. This is where confusion lies. I get this carnal pleasure sense, but in fact, what I'm doing is just seeking something that is not truly expressing love for myself. It takes me further and further into worldly desires and further away from God. For example, if I have children, which I do, and I give them everything that they ask for, everything. You know, if I feed them only candy, let them stay up all night, play video games all the time, is that expressing love, feeding their hedonistic desires? Of course not. Kids have to eat vegetables. They have to get to bed on time. They have to feed their minds with the right kinds of things. A parent who loves their kids will make them eat vegetables. So to love ourselves is not to just indulge. I'd like to turn to 2 Timothy 3 and read verses 1 through 3, which gives us another warning about this type of so-called self-love. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving. Isn't that interesting? How these people can be lovers of themselves, yet unloving. Are they using the correct measure of love? Are they loving their neighbor as themselves in the right way? The answer is no. I think we can pick up from the context. Continuing in verse 3, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And that is the key. self-seeking only does damage to ourselves by seeking pleasure and not seeking God. It brings us deeper into the world if we do that. It might feel good, once again, but that is where the confusion lies. We do good according to the measure which God sees good. He is the one who defines what is good, and that is how we understand how to love ourselves. Self-love will lead us down the path of the good things according to what God says. Good health, joy, personal meaning and fulfillment, and of course, spiritual growth and a very close relationship with God. Let's look at some of the attributes of love now and apply them to ourselves. Let's go to our famed chapter about love in 1 Corinthians 13, and I'll read verses 4 through 7. 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 4. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. This is what love looks like, period, for others and for ourselves as well. Long-suffering, bearing and enduring all things. Are you patient and kind to yourself on your journey? Kindness. Do you treat yourself right? Are you too hard on yourself sometimes? Do you do things for yourself that are kind? Getting enough rest, eating healthy, making sure that you get what you need. Are you kind to yourself? Envy. Do you have envy? Or are you seeking contentment? Pride. Do you think of yourself soberly, not inflating your sense of self-identity too much? Are you trying to quench your self-importance so you can see yourself in the right context as God sees you? Do you behave rudely to yourself? Do you beat yourself up unfairly if you make a mistake or see yourself sinning? Self-seeking. Again, we talked about this. Do you seek self-indulgence? Thinks no evil. Do you consider yourself to be bad? Think about that. This is important. We are all sinners. Christians definitively are sinners. But that doesn't mean that we think that we should think of ourselves as being evil. We should instead think of ourselves as people who are good, who are working to do good, but stumble from time to time in our sins. We have growing to do, but man, we are growing, aren't we? Someone who loves themselves will give themselves what they need to grow and encouragement. Rejoices in the truth. Do you use truth as your measure of goodness and your measure of love? And believes and hopes. Love consists of that. Do you believe in yourself that you will have obtained the salvation that is promised to you? Do you have faith in that? Self-love is encompasses all of these things. It is self-affirming. It acknowledges our sense of identity. It loves who we are as a person. It actively feeds our growth and spiritual development. Self-love provides for our needs. Self-love appreciates who we are with our quirks and imperfections, our weird sense of humor. Maybe I'm speaking for myself. I love my jokes. I really do. And self-love leads us away from that hedonistic self-indulgence. Turning over to Mark 8 and reading verses 34 through 37, we need to understand the balance. Again, this is I feel it is somewhat tricky to truly understand good self-love. Reading Mark 8, verses 34 through 37, this is Jesus Christ, story of him and his disciples. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit if a man, if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? We must interpret this scripture in the context of proper love for ourselves. It says that we are to deny ourselves, right? But that does not mean that we are to sacrifice our needs. Self-denial does not mean that we throw self-love out the window. If we do that, that just leads to bitterness and envy, and we already heard what the consequence of that is. That's where confusion and evil are. This is about coming out of worldliness. This is about seeking what is good, following Christ, and turning away from that part of ourself that is carnal and seeks worldly desires. This is the spiritual equivalent to eating more vegetables and turning away and avoiding the sweets. Love for ourselves provides our needs in following Christ and takes away the things that do damage. That is what this passage is about. Since we are to love others as ourselves, it is of vital importance that we understand what it means to love ourselves correctly. Self-seeking, hedonistic indulgences are deceptive in the way that they might feel good, but it only does damage to us, leading us away from God. Love for ourselves in the proper way draws us closer to God, provides the resources that we need to learn and practice righteousness, and it feeds that growth. When we understand how to love ourselves properly as God loves us, it forms the foundation that we can use with which to extend that love to others.